Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
This Thanksgiving, think outside the oven and get Thanks Grilling with Ace. Get a new grill and choose from top brands like Traeger, Weber, and Big Green Egg to add even more flavor to your Thanksgiving turkey, side dishes, and desserts. Plus, right now, get free assembly and delivery on all grills and accessories $3.99 and up. For the best help on the best grills, stop by your local Ace and get Thanks Grilling. Ace Rewards members only through December 24th. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.
Episode 1531 of No BS Job Search Advice Radio. And also, it is episode 407 of Job Search Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Alpin, the Big Game Hunter, and welcome. You know, Sundays I've been doing an interview show where I've broadcast or published interviews that I've done with other people. And this was a show that I did where I was interviewed by someone, Jeff Hyman, who wrote a book called Recruit Rockstars. Good book. I disagree with one principle of it, but that's okay. And we're entitled to different opinions. And here Jeff interviewed me about what rock stars really look for in their next organization. Hope you find this helpful and give it a great review. And, you know, it's about 25, 27 minutes in length. I've done no edits to it. So it has the opening music for Job Search Radio. It has the outro for Job Search Radio. And tacked onto each is an introduction and a completion. I hope you find this enjoyable, and let's get going.
Hi, this is Jeff Alpin, Big Game Hunter. Welcome to Job Search Radio.
Are you looking for a new job or interested in leveling up? Job Search Radio is your go-to resource for insider tips on job hunting and growing your career. Here's your host, Jeff Alpin.
This is Job Search Radio, episode 407. I'm your host, Jeff Alpin, the Big Game Hunter, and welcome. Now, this is an atypical show for me, and what I'm doing is sharing with you a podcast interview I did with Jeff Hyman of the Strong Suit Podcast, which is a terrific show. It's really designed to help employers with their hiring. And we cover the mistakes employers make, and I think it's useful both from the perspective of understanding what's happening to you in the search, as well as for the situations where, shall we say, you can influence your own firm to think a little bit differently about how they hire. Hope you find this show helpful. Please give it 5 stars in iTunes or Stitcher. It helps other people discover Job Search Radio. And might as well subscribe to the Strong Suit Podcast if you're involved with hiring. It is a terrific show. And if you're interested in my coaching, you listen to the very end, past the outgoing remarks from Jeff, and there's information about how I can coach you. And now let's get going.
Hello, and welcome to the Strong Suit Podcast. This is episode 155, and I'm your host, Jeff Hyman. Every Tuesday and Thursday, I interview a world-class expert on talent and recruiting so that you can build a company filled with rock stars. Why is there such a disconnect between great companies and great people? If you think about it, it's kind of weird, right? I've been in this business a long time, and there's some great candidates, and they just can't seem to entice a really good company to take a shot with them. And then similarly, there's a lot of great companies that can't attract the right talent. They've got tons of positions open. So for this episode, I really wanted to get at that disconnect. And so I chased down this guy who knows it from both sides. His name is Jeff Alpin. He's known as the Big Game Hunter. And he's a rare person because he's been an executive recruiter for many years, a headhunter, and worked with companies to fill their positions. But then he switched sides to become a career coach, a leadership coach for individual executives. So he's seen it from both perspectives. And in this 20-minute interview, we talk about this disconnect and really try to drill into what are the big mistakes that they make, and then how do we fix it? If you're a company looking for great people, how do you attract this great talent? He's been at this for 40 years in recruiting and then, like I said, career coaching. So you're going to get a ton of value with this interview with Jeff Alpin in the next 20 minutes. Here we go. Ready, aim, hire. Okay, Jeff, how's it going, my friend?
Fabulous. Thank you.
It's a little confusing for the listener because we got two Jeffs, but I think yours is low and husky. Mine is high and squeaky. I think we'll be fine. I'm really excited about this conversation for the next 15, 20 minutes. I've been looking forward to it because I've been looking for someone who is an expert on the employer point of view in what is so broken about this recruiting process and why we have 50% failure rates or higher, and also is an expert on the candidate side and brings that point of view to the party, and you're the man, right?
You betcha I am. I'm so looking forward to beating up employers.
Good. Well, we can beat up anyone you want on the next 15, 20 minutes. But I'm really, I think we would both agree. We were talking in the pre-interview about how dysfunctional this thing is. And it would be great if we can use your experience to understand why is it dysfunctional and then get into some of the big mistakes you see people make, both candidates and companies. And then we can get into how do we fix it, right? How do we have a chance? What are the best practices? So I think we're going to have a lot of fun. Let's start with just 60 seconds, very high level. Give us your hypothesis or your thesis as to what is so broken and why is it so broken in finding the connection and the love match between the right job and the right person.
And I want to start by saying, for the large institutional employer that's organized by systems that want to hire people that will fit into their square peg, and they themselves are a square peg, a lot of the system is perfectly fine.
It works.
Because they're looking for compliant individuals who the next time they will think will probably be the first time in the last 5 years.
Right. But for our listener who run and lead growth companies that probably – where the boxes are still kind of morphing on the org chart, we need people that are leaders, are drivers. They're not so compliant, right?
For growth companies, the system is completely wrong.
Okay, so tell us why.
And to me, it starts off with the fact that you think that you can assess for fit, and you're completely incapable of it. And the proof of the matter is that all of you firms that hire and are so concerned about fit, as you said, Jeff, the statistics are, I've seen as high as 66%, but I'll take your 50%. Half of the hires within 1 year, the employer has buyer's remorse.
Wow. Two-thirds.
Right. And employers blame the candidate. Right. They never look in the mirror to see whether or not they have any culpability in this process.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you where it breaks down so simply. It breaks down because employers forget that everyone's on good behavior.
Right.
The candidate's on good behavior.
In the interview, it is not representative of the real world.
Forget the real world. They're on good behavior. They're trying to present themselves in a good light. Yeah. They're being dishonest as an employer about what it's like to work there because they want to get that person in the chair.
Sure, sure.
And the candidate is as well.
So it's like a first date where you really don't get to the 10th date before you see his or her flaws and problems and bad breath and what they look like in the morning and all that stuff. It's very analogous, right?
The entire job search process is like blind dating.
Right.
Everyone's in good behavior. You know, no one's trying to present themselves honestly because they're afraid that if they do so, they'll be rejected.
Right. It's almost refreshing when you meet a candidate or an employer who tells you all the warts right early on. I mean, you're like, wow, that person's being vulnerable. You tend to believe them more.
It's so true. And, you know, and it's also true from the employer side. It's true from the candidate side. You know, the imperfections are really where the richness is. And the candidates that's willing to take the risk of saying, you know, if you're willing to take a guy who's imperfect, because somewhere along the line, you're going to find out that I'm not the idyllic individual that you hope I am, that I'm going to make mistakes. And my hope is at the end of the day, you're not going to blame me or fire me. I'm going to learn from this experience. I'm going to learn and grow. Was it Thomas Watson from IBM who talked about not firing someone who'd made a $30 million mistake in the 1950s?
Yes.
Because he said, hey, he learned on my dime. Why am I going to send him somewhere else?
As long as he doesn't make the same mistake over and over again. So
right.
you mentioned you can't find and hire for fit, which would imply you should focus on competencies and skills, which we'll get to in a second. But isn't it, just to play devil's advocate, isn't culture fit so important?
define culture fit for me, whether they can function and work a holic environment.
The person can be successful, whether they value the same things that the other employees value and hold dear.
And when I think in terms of fit, I'm not sure what it means for most employers. Even in a startup environment, even in the firm that's past startup phase, they're still evolving. So the question is, can they operate at the pace? Can they deliver the goods? Can they help you grow? Knowing full well, as Reid Hoffman did a wonderful interview on his podcast, he says, one of my favorite questions is, what's your next job 5 years from now when you leave me? Yeah. Where do you want to be?
Yeah.
These people aren't going to be around for 5 years. You're going to be lucky to have them for two.
Sure.
So what's the – we're still in the marriage model of hiring. We want them to stay.
Once the employee-employer bond was broken years ago, your thesis is that now we're basically renting talent for a short period of time, a year, 2 years, 3 years, and therefore the culture piece is less important because they're not going to be around.
And the truth of the matter is, neither is the employer.
That's true.
They're going to go somewhere else too.
That's a good point.
So the realities are very different than the model that America has raised its people to believe in.
Right.
As a result, you have to start evolving. And the notion that you want to hire compliant, docile people who will sit in the same seat for the next 20 years of their life and interview them. So where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Sure.
Working somewhere else, obviously.
Sure. Let's talk about – well, before we get to solutions and how to improve it, is your premise that it's the interview part of the recruiting process that is the most broken, or is it the whole recruiting process? Where is the key issue?
So let's go to the selection process. You know, the selection to interview process.
Yep.
And that involves the resume, the LinkedIn profile, rather than the referral. Yep. So often, once you go past your own, I'll use the old time language, Rolodex.
Yep. I don't know what the Rolodex is, yeah.
Once you get past the Rolodex, people are kind of tapped out. So they all have the same database called LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So they're in there trolling. They're all pitching their job, putting on a happy smile button face about, we've got a terrific organization, a great corporate culture. Have I mentioned we're kind of like family?
Yeah, and we have a ping pong table.
Right, we got a ping pong table, and we've got donuts.
Ooh. Free donuts. But let's be honest, who doesn't like donuts, Jeff?
Well, I go to different kinds of sugar, but that's a different conversation.
Then how do you get past all that noise?
You get past the noise from the employer's perspective by being the first to disconnect from it.
What does that mean? Give me an example.
To me, what it means, number one, is when you evaluate and assess, understand that you don't know what you're doing when you're hiring for fit. You are lying to yourself and you're lying to the employee or the potential employee. You're looking for skills and where you can come together cooperatively for the next few years. We have an opportunity. We have a chance for you to be involved with this kind of a project. And we're looking for someone with particular types of skills and successes. Where we're going to be 3 years from now, we have an idea. You may want to be in a different place, and I respect that. And I'll open up my phone and help introduce you to people that I know who have this kind of an opportunity.
Right.
It's my pleasure.
Right.
So instead of the marriage model, it's the dating model.
Is your premise that companies, while they suck at assessing fit, that they're better at assessing competencies and skills, or do they suck at that as well?
They can do well, but where it breaks down is often hiring managers are not clear about what it is that they're looking for. And even worse, they're terrible at communicating to the staffer or staffers who are involved with the assessment process, because often they're way too busy to do it. So they, someone arrives to talk with them, or they have a call scheduled at a particular time, and they turn around and say, hey, I'll be with them in about a half hour. Could you cover it with me?
Yeah.
And talk with them about such and such. Right. And that's as far as they ever get.
Right.
And the result winds up being you have someone who just wants to chop candidates off at the knees rather than coming up with a clear assessment criteria for how someone would be able to help them. So that if you've got the equivalent of the pitch sheet for interviews, where you say, I want you to cover these five basic points and drill down deep so we understand exactly what they know and what they don't know. We don't expect perfection. We expect real good. And the more that they tell us, the more that they're honest, the more I like them. Because if they're strong enough to say, I don't know on an interview.
And that's a good indicator that they're vulnerable and open to learning.
Right. And they're smart enough to admit it rather than trying to lie to you. Right.
What percent of candidates, you work with a shitload of candidates, what percent of candidates are I don't know, emotionally intelligent enough to have those characteristics?
You know, the system isn't really set up for them to demonstrate them. Take it out of the job search process, and suddenly you have more open, more honest individuals. But candidates, job hunters, you know, successful individuals, you know, I hate dealing with this model of the job hunter who isn't looking, the passive candidate. I helped to create the myth many years ago, and it is a myth.
Yeah, what's the myth?
The myth is that the passive job hunter is a superior candidate than the active job hunter.
Why is that a myth? Why did you create that myth, and why has it persisted?
Well, back in the Stone Ages, when I started in recruiting, I didn't have the budget for advertising and newspapers.
Yeah.
So I had to create a methodology or a mythology that would justify the fact that I was not delivering the same volume as others who were just running an ad in the New York Times. So the notion became that, you know, I find the best person for you, not just the best one who reads the Sunday Times.
Right.
And it becomes translated to today as being, you know, the passive job hunter is superior to the non-passive.
My clients, sir, seem to think so. When I introduce them to someone who's out of work, they look at me like I'm nuts.
So out of work, you know, sometimes, and I'll go to 2008, 2010.
Everyone was out of work.
Right. So why were they defective?
Yeah. Right.
Because they were victimized. And firms were imploding, but they blamed the employee.
Right.
And punished them some more. But, you know, these days, you know, if someone is actively looking, if you found their resume in some way, shape, or form, suddenly they're less appropriate than if you found them on GitHub or on LinkedIn.
Right.
It's the same person, but the sourcing place is different. And suddenly you have, on the one hand, oh, I wouldn't want to talk to him. On the other hand, sure, I recruited them.
Yeah, right.
And two different recruiters are doing the same pitch.
Yep.
So why is this person not good and this one is?
So let's flip it on its head. What do candidates make of this whole thing? You work with many executive-level candidates. They must be frustrated beyond belief, which in turn you'd say as an employer, well, who the hell cares? You should care, because if employees and candidates are frustrated, you got a problem.
And what the way it impacts employers is that they have a workforce that's resigned. And by that I mean they accept the fact that no one really wants them to excel.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, and when you look at it, and I'm sure you've examined it in different ways, it's hard to get that person to be bold. Bold is not the quality that organizations really hire very often, unfortunately.
Right.
Like, could Steve Jobs get a job these days?
Larry Ellison. Keep it for more than a week.
Right. Well, forgetting about whether he'd walk out the door. Yep. That's a different part of the conversation.
Right.
Could he, as a 24-year-old, have gotten the job?
And just so I'm clear, Jeff, you're saying because he's a bit of an odd duck, and companies are looking for what?
They are looking for people who will continue to live in the box that the school systems in the United States and elsewhere have conditioned people to want to live in. Because when you think about it, from the time you arrive in the school system, in most schools, there are exceptions, but in most school systems, the basic lesson of school is the factory model.
Right.
Shut up, what you're told, fit in, regurgitate a bunch of stuff, do what we tell you to do when we tell you to do it, or else.
Right.
Or else you're not going to get into college.
Okay, so in the 5 minutes remaining, let's turn to solutions? Because if I'm the kind of leader that wants to attract the Steve Jobs, the creative, difficult sometimes, geniuses who think out of the box and can really propel my business, what do I have to do differently? Do you see any employers that can do it?
I don't want to identify firms by name because they can change.
Have you seen companies that can do it?
Every firm can do this, but it requires a top-down encouragement because, number one is, people are going to make mistakes. And unfortunately, one of the things that we have had drilled into us is this accountability model that basically says, if you screw up, we are going to punish you. Right. Now, I'm not talking about embezzling money.
Yeah. No, not legal ethical breaches.
Right.
Just business decision lapses.
I made a mistake. I missed this point. Someone who with whom you can do a postmortem with and say, where did it break down? Let's go through this. Let's evaluate and assess.
Well, that's a commitment. So what you're saying, Jeff, is that's a commitment to hiring managers, even at the mid-level, who are exceptional and focused on learning and teaching and growing people, as opposed to functional experts, right? Promoting the sales rep who had the best numbers or promoting the software developer who wrote the best code into a manager role, and they suck as managers.
They suck as managers, and even they can learn. The question becomes, if they don't want to learn, they shouldn't be managers. Right. And you should create systems that reward them. Like I have a guy that I coach. He heads up sales for a medical device firm. Someone, a good performer of his, wound up giving notice. He didn't want to lose the guy. Suddenly he has to become a manager. He has to get the compensation increase. And he's not really manager able at this point.
Right.
What he is a good sales guy who he couldn't afford to lose at the time.
So what defines then, because the fish stinks from the head down, what defines the CEO or functional leader, VP of sales, VP of marketing, et cetera, who can create that kind of environment that attracts rock stars that can do their best work? What characteristics do those leaders have that most leaders, sounds like you would argue, don't have? What sets them apart?
I think number one is the freedom to express themselves in this kind of way. Again, institutions, whether it's a bank or a startup, tend to think in terms of
risk minimization.
Right. You're afraid of having things fail.
Yeah.
And the impact of failure, forgetting about on the enterprise, because most enterprises can recover. Startup, it's a different story.
Yeah. But if you're saying in Amazon, you launch a cell phone, it bombs, whatever.
And hopefully that person isn't taken out back and had a bullet put in
it. They should be promoted because they tried something.
Right. So the question is, let's deconstruct it. Let's learn from this experience. Where did it miss? What could we have done differently earlier on to make this a win rather than what it wound up being? Yeah. Maybe it's not a committee. Maybe it's the skunk works in a different building that doesn't have to report to management all the time until they have two or three prototypes. Yeah. Whatever it is, the idea is to attract and retain people as long as you want them who can really thrive in your organization because you've given them freedom, semi-autonomy. And I say it's a semi-autonomy because ultimately you have to write checks.
So you can't have chaos. Right. Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Okay. So in the 2 minutes remaining, let's make this really actionable. What is the first step to making this change? So let's say I work at a company. I'm CEO or I'm a VP, whatever. And for whatever reason, my own failings or just the way it's played out, our company is not this way, right? It's more risk averse. It's more the type of mentality that punishes mistakes, et cetera. How do I start? What is the first step to get on that path? It's not an overnight transition, but how do I begin to make that change so that I attract these rock stars who want to do big things?
The simplest way is to go to your work hiring manager, the one who has the greatest turnover, and basically sit with him or her and say to them, something's not working in what you're doing.
Right.
So let's try something a little bit different. What I'm going to invite you to do is take personality out of the equation. instead of throwing, in effect, the darts up against the dartboard to see whether or not by some miracle you hire the perfect fit, let's think in terms of bringing on people with qualifications, period. Become clear about what you're looking for. And I'm not talking about job descriptions, because most job descriptions are something that, even if they're somewhat real, all they are is something that someone's pulled out of their system to get approved at the time that they need to get an approval.
They grab it from some website or copy it from some other company.
Right. And they share it with their internal and external recruiting sources without communicating where their job is different, how it is morphed. And I'm always a believer that you want people to be forthright every step along the way. So tell these folks, hey, look, you'll probably make mistakes, but you were making mistakes before. Let's try something a little bit different. Yep. Hire for skills. And my reminder to folks is one of the ways we complain about politicians, about our presidents, is they only have people who say yes to them.
Yep.
We want to hire people who will disagree with us and get that kind of input instead of hiring the team player.
Yeah.
All you're doing when you tell people that you want to hire team players is be quiet.
I want compliance.
Stop thinking. I want compliance.
Right.
And there are some jobs that require compliance, but most don't.
Yeah. But that also means, you said sit down with the worst hiring manager. If that's what he or she is looking for because they lack the confidence for employees on their team to challenge them to disagree, then that manager has to go, right? Because that's not a changeable, fungible skill.
You can try it with them for 6 to 9 months. See whether how they respond to this, whether they go back to the old model, do a postmortem on some of their failures, and then give them the option to go. Because my belief is most people, if they're not willing to play ball with you when you're giving them this amount of freedom, they don't believe that they have this amount of freedom.
Right.
So
you give them permission.
Give them permission to make mistakes.
And then once you've given them the latitude and the permission and they still don't do it, then you got a problem. You need to make a change.
So that's today's show. I hope you found it helpful. And if you did, here's a few ways that I can be of help to you. First of all, if you're interested in one-on-one coaching from me, help with interview preparation or with assistance on a salary negotiation, email me at JeffAltman@thebiggamehunter.us. In the subject line, tell me what it's about. Coaching, interview prep, salary negotiation, whatever it is, just put in the subject line, and in the body, just tell me what's going on, and we'll schedule a time to speak. Next, if you're interested in resume and LinkedIn profile reviews, critiques and such, or a job search makeover where I review every aspect of what you've been doing in your search and try and help you make corrective action one time, you can find out about it at my website, which is thebiggamehunter.us. Look for the tab on top that indicates the kind of service that you want. Click through, place the order, and we'll get to work right away. And there's always jobsearchcoachinghq.com, where I have curated information that you can watch, listen to, or read that's going to help you find work more quickly. Plus, through the site, for one price, you can also ask me questions as well. Again, that site is jobsearchcoachinghq.com. I'll be back with more soon, and in the meantime, have a great day. Take care.
If you would like to have Jeff give you advice about your job search, you'll love jobsearchcoachinghq.com. This site has all of Jeff's books and guides to job hunting available free. The ability to have Jeff answer your questions, plus podcasts and videos that'll help you with all the different parts of a job search, including writing a winning resume and cover letter, great answers to interview questions, how to negotiate effectively, whether you want an easy way or want to get tough, plus a community of people like you who you can get advice from. The site again is jobsearchcoachinghq.com. That's jobsearchcoachinghq.com.
So that's today's show. I hope you found it helpful. And if you did, here are a few more ways to get more from me. First of all, visit my website, which is thebiggamehunter.us. I have more than 6,000 blog posts there that you can watch, listen to, or read that will help you find your next job. If you want the best of my advice, join JobSearchCoachingHQ.com, where I've curated information with a focus on interviewing. If you decide to take the lifetime membership at the site, it's $299 currently, but that's the price of a coaching session or an hour of coaching from me, and I'll be giving that to you if you join with a lifetime membership. Have a few questions? Contact me through the Magnify app for iOS or PrestoExperts.com, where you can call me. Schedule a specific time with me through chat on Magnify or by connecting with me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/IN/TheBigGameHunter. Once we're connected on LinkedIn, you can message me about coaching you, scheduling in time for Magnify or Presto Experts. Speak with me about a resume or LinkedIn profile critique, help you with a salary negotiation or my trusted advisor services, and much, much more. Like you, I don't work for free. I do charge for what I do. You can take my classes on Skillshare and become a premium member using the link in the show notes and receive 2 months for free instead of just the one that the site offers. Skillshare offers thousands and thousands of courses, not just simply mine, on a host of different subjects that can help you in many different ways. Lastly, join my group on Facebook called Career Angles. It's free to the first 250 people who join and is focused on helping you do better at work. Information is shared daily, and we're attempting to build a supportive group there. Ask to join. I'm not letting recruiters in at this point. So I'll be back tomorrow with more, and in the meantime, I hope you have a great day. Be great!
This episode is sponsored by Schwann's.com. What are you having for dinner tonight? Good question. Schwann's Home Delivery has a solution for you. Stock up your freezer with high-quality frozen foods like premium meats and sides, delicious ready-made meals, ice cream, and more. No subscriptions, no memberships, just a friendly yellow truck that's been delivering food for almost 70 years. Listeners of this show get a special deal. Get 20% off your first order with code YUM20. Check out schwanz.com/yum for details.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
This Thanksgiving, think outside the oven and get Thanks Grilling with Ace. Get a new grill and choose from top brands like Traeger, Weber, and Big Green Egg to add even more flavor to your Thanksgiving turkey, side dishes, and desserts. Plus, right now, get free assembly and delivery on all grills and accessories $3.99 and up. For the best help on the best grills, stop by your local Ace and get Thanks Grilling. Ace Rewards members only through December 24th. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.